You're going to be pulled, you're going to be seduced by the strength of your egocentric yearning to know something, to be something. So long as you fan those flames, so long as you're caught in how brilliantly you can analyze each experience, you're going to be held at arm's length. And it's you holding yourself at arm's length. Don't make the practice difficult. Buddha Dharma is so terribly, terribly simple. I'm always amazed when I sort of give this little pep talk to people, and they're particularly if I'm trying to nudge them off a place where they're stuck. And the first thing you'll hear, see, is an intellectual understanding of it, where you're supposed just to put it all down. Now let me tell you, Nyogen, how I understand this marvelous still space that you're talking about. You don't have the slightest idea what I'm talking about. See, put down the knowing, then what do? You go to your practice. If you're counting your breath, that's all you do. See, it's simple. That's all. That's nothing else. Not analyzing, not appreciating, not feeling. Just count the breath. Allow the mind to settle. You don't rigidly try to force it down. See, in the early years of Samurai Zen, we'd do that. It was a terribly painful process. We don't have to do that. Yang Wu said to relax and release. So I simply fix my mind, my inner mind, see my breathing, watch my breathing. And as I inhale and I exhale, I allow the inner world. If you want to think of your skin bag body as the balloon, the layer, so you have latex in a balloon. See, as you inhale, see, you're empty and still, but your mind is very clear, watching. Then you exhale. And count, see. And then when you inhale, the inner world is still and quiet, but it fills with one. And then you exhale with two, all of two out. As you inhale, the entire inner world is just two. The mind runs off, starts to think. Just pull it back. Don't be critical. The most important part is don't develop your thoughts. See, just as it is. Beautiful practice. If you're following your breath, which is an exquisite practice, if you can think of yourself as that balloon, see, with the focus in the hara, see, and this is almost mechanistic in what we're doing. See, we're bringing the concentrated mind, the thinking mind, the mind of focus, down into the hara so that you don't sit in your head ruminating. It's that simple. See, so then, much like a balloon, expanding and contracting, very gentle. You don't hyper anything. It isn't No. Two-thirds of your capacity. It should be comfortable. See, it should be empty and still and wonderful. See, exhale. I inhale. I exhale. I inhale. I exhale. I inhale. I exhale. And if that's all you do, if the mind runs off, bring it back. See? And have the determination, the commitment, see, to put yourself on that path for a full sitting block. See? You can do that. See? Then the next sitting block, simply commit yourself to that. You can even bring it down in a more refined way. Just, I'm going to inhale and exhale. Just once, I'll be fully concentrated. Go no further than that. Empty and still. Then inhale. Now you've made that. Try it once more. Inhale. Well, that was easy. Let's do the third one. If you relax and release the breathing in, see, to its natural pattern, and keep the mind's eye focused. Well, how do I put my mind there? Think about your breathing in the hara. It's exquisite. That's all you do. Do not raise the focus of the mind and think about, is something happening? Am I accomplishing something? See, the magic here, see, is that what you're looking for, you are already that. It's clouded over by the ruminating egocentric mind. See, Roshi used to say sometimes, it's enough to say, don't think. But he didn't mean to suppress your thoughts. See, suppression, see, is just more of that ruminating activity, pushing it down, I won't have a thought, I won't have a thought, I won't have a thought, until in exhaustion it explodes. Rambling thoughts, see, crazy feelings, emotions flipping, moving into all kinds of crazy machios, dreaming up all sorts of notions as to how it's to be done. It's simple. If your practice is counting, just that. Nothing more than that. Right where you are. See, I'm here for these three sitting periods. Well, I can do it. I can actually get down and do it. Inhale, exhale. I can do that. Inhale, exhale. I did that. I can do it again. Inhale, exhale. And if you concentrate, if you keep the mind focused there, all of a sudden, you'll lose yourself into your practice. And Yasutani said, see, if you can truly sit zazen, you're enlightened. But don't try to understand what that means. Now, for those of you who are working with koans, see, particularly like Muji, see, what I was trained by the Rinzai master, one of the teachers of mine, teacher, Kori Roshi, he said to always begin each sitting period, count the breath for a few moments, to get the mind to settle down. See, one, two, three. And he said, as soon as, 4 or 5 minutes, soon as you, see, can sense that your mind is steady, that it's stable, drop the count. And just allow the mind to very gently, see, not trying to control it, but very gently following just the breath. And when you sense, see that things are still, that your focus is real, that your sitting is relaxed, then you hook your koan into the breathing. See, if it's Muji, nothing but Mu. But here again, there has to be an intense inquiry as to what is Mu. And the way you do that is you hook that feeling of what is it? There's a feeling. See, there is real energy generated to asking the question of what is mu? See, Roshi would tell me on some occasions, Yogin, when you exhale, fill the outer universe with mu. There's no mu left. When I inhale, I pull in the whole universe. I fill the body with mu, see. I'm watching, see. What is mu? See, and you keep your focus on mu so that you question it. You look into it, and the direction of the concentrated mind doesn't vary. It doesn't break between inhalation and exhalation. Watch carefully to see what you do. See, pause, pause. No, 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 no. It is simply the transition to. The concentrated mind, see, goes beyond the transition from inhale to exhale. You keep simply mu focused there in the hara. And if you sustain it, see, I can tell you, you will begin to experience, see, the depth, see, of the hara. Kori Roshi told me in the beginning, he said, there is a Buddha asleep in the pit of your belly. See if you can wake that Buddha up. And that's how we work. It isn't a koan that can be resolved intellectually. None of the koans can be resolved intellectually. Can you come up with some sort of an intellectual explanation of a koan? Yeah. But that's some sort of academic pursuit, scholarly pursuit. If you want to study koans in that way, you go out to one of the religious schools, school and religion, see, Buddhist studies, see. And the professor will give you lectures, see. There are people who have never done koan practice who teach koans, see. Go talk with them. When I first went into the room with Roshi and he started me on koan practice, and he said to me, he said, Nyogen, at the time it was Bill, he said, never come into this room and ask me if a goat has Buddha nature. He said, if you want to ask those kinds of questions, go to the universities and talk to the professors. He said, in this room, we'll deal with the very essence of life and death. And I maintained that formality in that room because that was what I was most overwhelmingly interested in, was resolving for myself the issue of birth and death. So when you pick up your koan, see, the point is not to slip into the ruminating mind and sit there and think about the koan. See, it's to pick up the spirit of the koan. You do that by becoming that koan. You become the old master. And what is the condition of the old master's mind? What is the condition? See, you see it, you experience, you become it. It isn't something that we can do intellectually. For some of you, it becomes a great frustration. See, for a while, I was really, in the first few years, I was really helping people with this. And I thought that I was doing them a favor because I thought, well, there's a lot of koans that we go through. We go through some 700 and so koans, see, in our lineage practice. Yet, that's not for everyone. See, a koan or two is enough to transform your life. And by the way, that's what this practice is about. This isn't about coming here to become something. See, it's about your life transforming so that when you go out from here, wherever you stand, wherever your karma blows you, you can take care of it because you're an actualizing Buddha.